You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all-knowledgeable, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, we have an account of the birth and infancy of our Lord Jesus. Having had notice of his conception and of the birth and infancy of his forerunner, in the former chapter, the first begotten is here brought into the world. My scripture is Luke 2, 1 through 20. My text is Luke 2, 7, which reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The fullness of time was now come, when God would send forth his son, made of a woman, and made under the law. And it was foretold that he should be born at Bethlehem." Now here we have an account of the time, place, and manner of it. The time when our Lord Jesus Christ was born. Several things may be gathered out of these verses, which make known to us that it was the proper time. Number one, he was born at the time when the fourth monarchy was at its highest height, just when it was become, more than any of the three before it, a universal monarchy. Monarchy meaning undivided rule or absolute sovereignty by a single person. He was born in the days of Augustus Caesar, when the Roman Empire extended itself further than ever before or since, including Parthia one way and Britain another way. So that it was then called the empire of the whole earth. And here, that empire is called all the world. But there was scarcely any part of the civilized world but what was dependent on it. Now this was the time when the Messiah was to be born. According to Daniel's prophecy, in the days of these kings, the kings of the fourth monarchy shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. He was born when Judea was become a province of the empire and paying tribute to it, as appears evidently by this, that when all the Roman Empire was taxed, the Jews were taxed among the rest. Jerusalem was taken by Pompey, the Roman general, about 60 years before this, who granted the government of the church to Hyrcanus, but not the government of the state. By degrees it was more and more reduced, till now at length it was quite subdued. For Judah was ruled by Cyrenius, the Roman governor of Syria. Now, just at this juncture, the Messiah was to be born. For so was dying Jacob's prophecy, that Shiloh should come when the authority was departed from Judah, and the lawgiver from between his feet. This was the first taxing that was made in Judea, the first badge of their servitude. Therefore, now Shiloh must come to set up his kingdom. Three, there is another circumstance as to the time implied in this general enrollment of all the subjects of the empire, which is that there was now universal peace in the empire. The temple of Jesus was now shut, of Janus was now shut, which it never used to be, if any walls were on foot. And now it was fit for the Prince of Peace to be born, in whose days swords should be beaten into plowshares. The place where our Father Jesus was born is very observable. She was born at Bethlehem, so it was foretold. The scribes so understood it, so did the common people. The name of the place was significant. Bethlehem signifies the house of bread, a proper place for him to be born, in who is the bread of the life, the bread that came down from heaven. But that was not all. Bethlehem was the city of David, where he was born, and therefore there he must be born, who was the son of David. Now, when the Virgin Mary was with child and near her time, Providence so ordered it that, by order from the emperor, all the subjects of the Roman Empire were to be taxed. That is, they were to give their names to the proper officers, and they were to be registered and enrolled according to their families. That which Augustus designed was either to gratify his pride in knowing the numbers of his people and proclaiming it to the world, or he did it in policy to strengthen his interests and make his government appear the more fearful. But Providence had another reach in it. All the world shall be at the trouble of being enrolled, only that Joseph and Mary may. This brought them up from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, because they were of the stock and lineage of David. Hereby the Virgin Mary was brought, great with child, to Bethlehem, to be delivered there, according to the prediction, whereas she had designed to lie in at Nazareth. See how man purposes and God disposes, and how Providence orders all things for the fulfilling of the scripture, and makes use of the projects men have for serving their own purposes quite beyond their intention to serve his. Hereby, it appeared that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David, for what brings his mother to Bethlehem now? But because she was of the stock and lineage of David, this was a maternal thing to be proved, and required such an authentic proof as this. Justin Martyr and Tertullian, two of the earliest advocates for the Christian religion, appeared to these rolls or records of the Roman Empire for the proof of Christ's being born of the house of David. Hereby it appeared that he was made under the law, for he became a subject of the Roman Empire as soon as he was born, a servant of rulers. Many suppose that, being born during the time of the taxing, he was enrolled as well as his father and mother, that it might appear how he might himself of no made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Instead of having kings paying tribute to him when he came into the world, he was himself a tribute to a conqueror. He that made darkness a swaddling band for the sea was himself wrapped in swaddling bands. The everlasting Father became a child of time. The Ancient of Days became an infant of a lifetime long. He was under some humiliations peculiar to himself. He was born at an inn. The Son of David, that was the glory of his father's house, had no inheritance that he could command. No, not in the city of David. No, nor a friend that would accommodate his mother in distress, with lodgings to be brought to bed in. Christ was born in an inn, to make known that he came into the world, but to sojourn here for a while, an inn, and to teach us to do likewise. An inn receives all comers, and so does Christ. He hangs out the banner of love for his sign. And whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. Only, unlike other inns, he welcomes those that come without money and without price. All is on free cost. He was born in a stable. So some think the word signifies, which we translate a manger, a place for cattle to stand to be fed in, because there was no room in the inn. And for want of conveniences, no, for want of necessaries, he was laid in a manger instead of a cradle. Christ would hereby put a lack of respect upon all worldly glory and teach us to treat it as unimportant, since his own received him not. Let us not think it strange if they receive us not. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus came to this earth and was crucified on the cross for our sins, so that we may be connected to God and receive eternal life. Therefore, let us give our lives to him and be led by his Holy Spirit. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is grace. The word grace means more than just God's kindness toward us or even his mercy. It means his undeserved favor. It means God owes nothing to us and we deserve nothing from him. Ephesians 2:5 says it like this, that by grace you have been saved, which means our salvation was totally unmerited. It came solely because of God's grace. The motive of grace is the compassionate, infinite love of a merciful God. But the work of grace was Christ's death on the cross. When I imagine Christ hanging from the cross, the spikes in his hands, the crown of thorns on his brow, his blood draining from his body, the soldiers mocking him, then I begin to see the depth of God's grace. Then I realize that nothing can equal the infinite love of God for a sinful world. But God's grace is also shown when we humbly bow before Christ in repentance and faith, for then we find forgiveness. Thank God for his grace, for without it, we would have no hope. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to pray, put God first, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Be safe and stay encouraged, my friends. And remember, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on religious liberty news on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.
Good afternoon. Thank you and your staff for your